Hello everyone, this is Giulio Coraggio, Vocational Head of the Italian Intellectual Property and Technology Department at DLA Piper in Italy. This is the podcast Diritto Digitale. I'm really excited to have here my colleague, my partner in the US, Tom Ara, global co-lead of our media, sports and entertainment sector. Tom, welcome to our podcast. You are a superstar. We were talking before that in a ranking you were between Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks. I wasn't even in the league, so.
Not in that order, but yes, thank you. Thank you for having me, Giulio. Glad to be here.
Yeah, Tom, we didn't say that you are in Los Angeles. You are chairing our media, sports, and entertainment practice. Your practice focuses a lot on media. So my first question for you is, what is the hottest topic at the moment in the media sector in the U.S.?
Well, it's, again, thank you for having me, and appreciate the opportunity to talk about some of the trends and activities that we are seeing or involved in here. I think probably the thing that is the most top of mind right now for the industry, you and I talked about this shortly before this podcast, is artificial intelligence. It was reported that OpenAI, who as I'm sure your listeners know, is the leading artificial intelligence developer and software out there, was in town over the last few weeks visiting with a number of the Hollywood studios, talent agencies, producers, and creatives to talk about how artificial intelligence can play a role in the creation of content and mm-hmm. more generally in the entertainment industry. So if you were to ask me, as you just did, what is the hottest issue or the thing that is the most talked about at the moment, it is artificial intelligence. And I'll end by saying it was central, artificial intelligence was central to the negotiations that took place last year between the two Hollywood guilds, the Writers Guild of America and the Screen Actors Guild, with the Hollywood studios.
So do you think that the usage of AI in the media sector will lead to some new legal challenges also with actors? How do you see the matter will evolve, actually?
Well, I think there's a lot to unpackage there, and it's a very loaded question, but I think I'll start with the positive, which is I think there's tremendous opportunity for the industry coming from artificial intelligence. But there are many challenges. Labor and the unions are one. And they rightfully have concerns around the use of artificial intelligence that could make their jobs obsolete or, damage their artistic works. So there's that. That's one challenge. Probably the bigger business challenge is that when it comes to the law on works created by artificial intelligence, it's a patchwork globally. In the U.S., for example, the United States Copyright Office has stated very clearly that a work of authorship that is protectable under U.S. copyright law and subject to registration with the U.S. Copyright Office must be created by a human being. An author cannot be a computer, and there are clear decisions by the U.S. Copyright Office on this point. So that is an important factor to take into account if you are a Hollywood studio, producer, production company that wants to incorporate the use of artificial intelligence into your business, because there is this obvious, it's not even a risk, it's an edict that the works you create may not be protectable under U.S. copyright law. That is not the case in every jurisdiction around the world, and I'm not an expert in the global landscape at the moment. We've done some surveys for clients, but it keeps evolving. But there are jurisdictions that take a different view or take a slightly less strict view. So because of that kind of patchwork of legal landscape, it's quite risky to create content that is of any value with artificial intelligence without knowing that you have the full protection and enjoy the full protections that you would with works that are created by non-artificial intelligence, by humans.
Yeah. So in this situation of uncertainty, from your perspective, what is the position of clients like studios that see the opportunity of a major cost saving, for instance, in using AI for their productions, but at the same time, they see a potential legal challenge if they use that kind of technology in a situation, as we said, where case laws are not consolidated, are fragmented. So what are you recommending to clients in this situation?
I think it's a very tough position right now. I think the studios and content creators are in a bit of between a rock and a hard place, because there is this the risks that we just talked about, and there are a number of risks, not just the protectability risk. Right, there's also a number of ongoing lawsuits at the moment around the input is that OpenAI or ChatGPT or any of these other services use to create content. And so there are potentially infringement claims around what goes in to the artificial intelligence, large language learning model. And so there's that risk as well for them, not to mention, the protection risk, as I said. But notwithstanding those risks, there's also all these opportunities. Cost savings, as you said, I think a lot of Hollywood studios, production companies, producers, I was just having a conversation with actually a European client that I represent in the U.S. who's in the animation space. And this individual, who's the CEO of the company, told me that the mandate that his company has been given is to cut costs by 30-40% this year, and a lot of that mandate is driven by use of AI in the creation of animation content. And so, there's this pressure that these companies are feeling to use artificial intelligence in areas that could save costs. But then there's this, risk. So they're in a rock and a hard place. And I think our advice is to proceed with caution. There's also, as I said earlier, the pressures from talent guilds, to the extent that any of this content is being produced under guild agreements, that limit the use of AI. For example, under the Writers Guild agreement, the new Writers Guild agreement that was struck after almost 6 months of strike, a studio cannot force a writer to use artificial intelligence in creating a screenplay or a script. Similarly, a script that was created or a literary work that was created by artificial intelligence that is then given to a human writer to adapt or rewrite, that script or that underlying work under the WGA rules will not be deemed a pre-existing work because it was not created by a human, which is to the benefit of the human writer because then they can take credit for creating an original work. But for the studio's purposes, if they are using artificial intelligence to create new ideas, and we know that the studios need new ideas, they kind of ran out of a lot of good ideas. Superhero films, you know, are kind of, you know, now out of vogue. You know, if you're using the artificial intelligence to create at least the initial idea, you're not getting the benefit then of having the originality be attributed to the studio. It is going to go to the writer that you engage, who then will create a literary work that you would adapt into a film or a television series. So there are issues like that that are present. The last thing I'll say here is the rock and the hard place situation also has the overlay that there will be and are already third-party companies that are not established Hollywood, you know, producers or studios that are already using artificial intelligence with no guardrails to create content. And some of that content is not great yet, but it will start to become better and better. And as that happens, and they're less concerned about infringement, they're less concerned about the guilds, they're less concerned about protectability, they just want to create content and monetize it however they can. As that happens, that will create even more pressure on the studios, I think, because they'll be able to create great content or pretty good content at very little cost, whereas the Hollywood system is still stuck in the world of having to spend a lot of money to create content. And that will create this schism between the new technological content world and the old Hollywood world, which I think is going to result to some sort of a reckoning, I think, of this whole issue.
This is extremely interesting because in any situation of digital transformation, you have newcomers getting into a market that in a way are reshuffling the market positions. You also mentioned that maybe the newcomers are considering compliance not so much as a priority as the studios, the established studios do. Do you think it's a question of risk appetite? I do believe that in any situation of major shift in technologies, someone takes some risks. So it's just a question of the magnitude of the risk.
Yeah, well, I think music is going to be, I mean, music's always been kind of the guinea pig for these developing technologies. Yeah. We saw that in the late 90s with Napster and revolutionized music, really created a massive downturn in music revenues and sales. And really only after the streaming services were launched has the music business been able to make a comeback, right? I think music will be the first area we'll see tremendous change in, and in large part because it's lower hanging fruit for AI to be able to create. You know, it's not audio visual content; it's audio, and we've already seen that. We've already seen pretty good music that's been created by artificial intelligence, both the writing of the compositions and the recording of it. So I think in that world, it's going to be wild, wild west. There are going to be a lot of people creating tons of music. A lot of it will sound like some of the most popular artists in music we've heard, and you won't even know the difference. And most of those creators are probably some kid in his garage, in his mother's basement or something, right? And I mean, there was a song that was a Drake Weekend, AI created song that sounded like Drake, and The Weeknd was created by this guy who basically did it in his bedroom, and it was hugely popular. We're going to see more of that. So for the people like that, maybe they can remain anonymous, maybe they won't, but they don't have a lot to lose to do it. And they have a lot to gain if they become popular from it. So I think we're going to see a fair amount of that in the coming years.
Yeah. Just coming back to one point that you mentioned before, there is a fragmentation on copyright laws that when applied to AI are even more unclear. We've seen many clients that say, okay, if I do the AI training in the US, where the fair use exception is more unclear than EU copyright laws, I might do more than what I can do in Europe. Do you think there's going to be this sort of country shopping in finding the country where I can have regulations that have more flexibility, or we're going to go towards an harmonization which maybe can allow better investments on a large scale?
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure, you know, people will forum shop and try and find jurisdictions where they can get protection for AI created works, or they can use protected works to create AI created works. There certainly will be that. I can't predict when we'll see any uniform kind of global, I mean, like a WIPO type or a Berne Convention type thing. I think it probably is necessary at some point for the reasons you stated, where people will be shopping around and taking advantage of the system. But I think, again, I think it will be a period of wild, wild west where a lot of that will happen. And we'll see, and during that period, we'll probably see a lot of incredible advancement. You know, part of the good that comes from that situation is we're going to see a ton of really interesting creative advancement. The bad part is a lot of our clients' rights will probably be impinged upon and infringed upon. So might be keeping, you know, litigators busy trying to enforce rights against different parties. But I do think that there will be a good period of time where people will take advantage of that type of inconsistency between the laws in different jurisdictions.
Tom, last question. We discussed about the usage of AI in the media sector. Over the past years, we talked a lot about the metaverse. Do you think that the AI will generate a new hype of the metaverse, because we're going to be in a world generated by AI where that is in a way is a sort of metaverse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the word metaverse now is like a four-letter word, right? Nobody wants to use it anymore. And so, you know, even Division Pro is not called the metaverse, right? For reasons that, you know, are more just public perception of what the metaverse is viewed to be, which is, you know, you're going into, like, you're wearing a headset that can make you dizzy, it's uncomfortable, it's heavy, you know, all those things. But when people say, you know, the metaverse or you know, immersive experiences, it's already happening. It may not be you and me, it's actually our kids. I don't know about you, but my kids like to spend a great amount of time playing Roblox and other online type immersive worlds. They're not wearing headsets when they're doing it, but that doesn't mean that it's not the metaverse. It is. It's a online world where they are interacting with other people and games and events and different things. It's effectively the metaverse, except it's not, you know, an immersive experience yet for them. It will get there. And already AI is prevalent in those worlds. It's filling in spaces that, you know, probably you wouldn't notice. And it's also creating characters and interactions that you would notice, but you wouldn't know that it's an artificial intelligence that's communicating with you. The point I made to somebody the other day is I said, if I gave my kids, the 9-year-old, as I mentioned to you earlier, if I gave my 9-year-old the option of watching a show I won't name the streaming service, but you can imagine which one, for an hour on a streaming service or spend an hour on Roblox, any day of the week, she would pick Roblox. So we are already seeing this migration of interest of a new generation away from watching linear content, even on a streaming basis, to wanting to be interactive. So that's, you know, we've talked about Web3 a lot. That's Web3, because Web2 streaming is still a Web2 experience, right? Yeah. It's, you sit there, yes, you can decide when to watch it, but it's still a kind of two-dimensional experience. The online gaming experience is a Web3 experience because you are interacting with the online activity in a meaningful way. And so to me, it's already happening. The generations that are doing it will be the generations that will be the consuming public. They're going to lose interest in some of the Web2 worlds that we all love and grew up on. And so AI will play a tremendous role in that, because those worlds require a tremendous amount of content constantly created, and humans probably can't keep up with creating that content, and we'll have to rely on AI to do it. So it's going to be that will be the testing ground for a lot of this content that I think we'll see created with artificial intelligence. It'll be exciting to see, but also frightening.